As we continue in our, not search, I believe our look at the two major beliefs and the two differences in these particular beliefs, I would like to caution you that you not think that because a person has never, let's say, heard of these particular beliefs before, that the person is not necessarily not saved. I wouldn't go that far as to say that. I would say this. I would say that if a person has never considered these types of theological insights or constructs, and they are following a pastor, a religious teaching, or someone like that, and they have an aptly defined or described these things to them, that they would be at a loss. That brings us down to our fourth point of Arminianism, which is the Holy Spirit can be effectually resisted. Now, many Calvinists might say, well, I believe that. I've resisted God's moving in my life. I'm not talking about that kind of disobedience. I'm not talking about that kind of thought of debauchery. I'm talking about, can you resist what God has deemed plausible in your life to the fact that you would turn from God, turn your back on God, and walk away? I have been, in my Christian experience, to a particular place where I felt that Christianity was not worth the going forward. I'm just honest with it. I've had some things happen in my life that's really caused me to really question myself following this belief system that I know and that I teach. And I cannot resist what God has said. Let's get into the teaching. The Arminian would say that the Spirit calls inwardly all those who are called outwardly by the gospel invitation. Now, what they mean by that is that he does all that he can to bring every sinner to salvation, meaning God doing all that he can. In other words, like God is straining and aching and, all right, I'm going to try with all my might to bring this sinner here. That's the Spirit's inwardly calling all those who are called outwardly by the gospel invitation. There's a little confusion there for me, because if he has gotten on the inside and does that, why couldn't he procure it on the outside? We have a Holy Spirit that appears to be powerless to do anything. Then the Arminian would go on and says, but inasmuch as man is free, you see, you go back to the first point. Inasmuch that man is free, and that's the key, he can successfully resist the Spirit's call. In other words, a man can say, you know, I don't have to. I mean, you know, my Creator, I mean, the Holy Spirit's influence then, if this is true, is weak and impotent. In other words, he's out there, well, I'm not going to force anybody to see it my way. It's not a forcing it. I mean, once the divine, well, I won't get into the Calvinistic view. Let me finish the Arminian view, you see, because my mind automatically goes this way. You're saying that God is weak, that he can impinge his justice where he wills? So the Arminian would say that the Spirit cannot regenerate the sinner until he believes. In other words, the Holy Spirit can't do anything until the sinner flips a switch on the inside, I guess, of his head or brain, until he believes. This is what the Arminian would call man's contribution. See, I'm going to turn the switch on. I'm going to let you work, God. Then he proceeds and makes possible the new birth after man contributes and turns on the faith switch. Thus, man's free will limits the Spirit in the application of Christ's saving work. See, free will blocks the way. And this is why you have all this backsliding and all this, well, I'm saved, now I'm not, now I'm saved and I'm lost. I can be lost, I can be saved. And then you're real confused. That's why you can be a Christian and then you can murder 7 people and then all you can do is call some Christian psychologist like Dobson or something and make a plea. Who is the mass murderer? Ted Bundy? I'll never forget years ago when Dobson and his people interviewed him and, Bundy's going to heaven. Well, I believe now. Oh, wouldn't, hey, that would make all the sense in the world, right? You're going around murdering people, cutting them up, bludgeoning them to death, and performing all these massacre killings on them. And then some Christian psychologist comes and talks to you and wishy-washy you because you're a brilliant killer. Ted Bundy was one of them pretty boys that's going out there killing up folk and appealing to people's, how could a man like this do such terrible things? He wasn't doing that. But all of a sudden now Bundy is agreeing to let God in, so the light switch comes on, and the Christian psychologist says that he's saved, he's going to heaven. What, all that's forgiven? It's just, all right, God couldn't work until he turned on the light. Whoa. Therefore, we got Al Capone, Adolf Hitler, everybody that heard the doctrine that can do that. God isn't sovereign and is calling anybody. Just let any heathen turn on the light whenever he wants to do that. Let me finish with the Arminian view. It goes on and says that the Holy Spirit can only draw to Christ those who allow him to have his way with them. In other words, here, you are saying that, well, I think I'm going to allow God now no longer to be resisted in my life. The Arminian would also say that until the sinner responds, the Spirit cannot give life. In other words, see, when Bundy responded, then God says, now I can give him eternal life. Since God is sovereign, here's my argument. Since God is sovereign and knew that, so God knew that Bundy was going to kill all those women, and then one day he was just going to say yes, and then God was forced to let Bundy in heaven. Now, I'm thinking every day of the week, and this is some pretty crass stuff here. So therefore, the Arminian would say, God's grace, therefore, is not invincible. It can be, and all it is, resisted and thwarted by man. But it's not invincible. And it often is just cast aside. Holy what? Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, yeah, right. Come, quickening dove. Ooh. And now, I got to get into efficacious call of the Spirit or irresistible grace. I've got to get you into that because, here again, not only the limited atonement, and that's why I believe that, and let me review some of that for some of you that don't know what I'm talking about. You have to go to cut number 3 when I spoke about particular redemption or limited atonement, where I said that Christ's redeeming work was intended to save the elect only. See, you have to be able to go back and forth to these points, saving the elect only, and actually secured salvation for them. That's why all this open and shut Christianity, I can do whatever I want to do, is found in Arminian's 4th point, that the Holy Spirit can be resisted. That's why that is totally ridiculous when you weigh that next to his efficacious call of the Spirit of irresistible grace. The Calvinists would say that in addition to the outward general call to salvation, which is made to everyone who hears the gospel, and that's very, very important because everybody that's sitting in the presence of the gospel doesn't hear it. See, now you're saying what you're talking about, that's just what I said. Everyone that is sitting in the presence of someone teaching the truth doesn't hear it. God has to open their ears to hear. Jesus puts it this way, let him that has ears to hear, hear. He isn't being facetious when he says that. You have two of those suckers sitting on each side of the outside of your head. But do you hear me? Many of you listening to me now don't hear me. You're hearing words. You have a brain to understand the words, but you don't hear me. So he says, in addition to the outward general call to salvation, which is made to everyone who hears the gospel, the Holy Spirit extends to the elect a special inward call that inevitably brings them to salvation, the eternal call which is made to all without distinction, can be and often is rejected. That's that external call, okay? And keep that in mind. That's that eternal call of that special inward call. The Calvinist would say it can be and often is rejected, whereas the internal call, which is made only to the elect, and that's the key here. There's an external call that's given to everybody, and that can be rejected. You know, like I can hear that God is love, and I can say, no, God ain't love because I want to hate somebody today. Now, that's the external call, but the inward call is what the Calvinists would deal with here, which is made only to the elect. When God is speaking to me, saying, John, you will love every white person you see. You mean, Lord, even if they hate John, love them. Look in their eyes. You're a black man, John. Look in their eyes. You will love the very life that is connected to every part of their existence. You will love Ted Bundy. He was a killer, Lord. You will love him, John, and know that there is a judgment for him. I have called you to love. All right. See, now I know that this is difficult. Some of you that are Calvinists, that are Christians that are listening to me, don't love like that. Have you experienced the inward call? Now, whereas the internal call, which is made only to the elect, cannot be rejected, it always results in conversion. What I mean by that is that in August of 1967, when Christ gave me the inward call, and I was not in a church, it converted me. It changed me. That's why when God gives me the inward call, that special, unique revelation to me, I am always responding to it. I'm not concerned about some other person calling himself a Christian not responding to it. That's your particular problem. The Calvinist would go on and says, by means of this special call, the Spirit irresistibly draws sinners to Christ. He is not limited his work of applying salvation by man's will, or is he dependent upon another man's cooperation for success? See, when the Spirit is calling, he isn't trying to weigh whether that person is going to respond to it. You would say, well, John, what if he doesn't? I would look at you and say, he's not the elect. What are you saying, that he's not a Christian? Yes, he's not the elect. The elect will respond to it. The Calvinists would go on and say that the Spirit graciously causes the elect sinner to cooperate. See, and that's where, you know, the Armenian says, oh, come on. No, he graciously causes the elect sinner to cooperate, to believe, to repent, to come freely and willingly to Christ, to God. God's grace, therefore, is invincible. It never fails to result in the salvation of those to whom it is extended. That's why I can never fall away from salvation. I can't lose this. And that's why the Arminian, especially the apostolic faith and people like that, you're in and out like Burger King. You know, you're in today, out tomorrow. Well, if you did that, if you commit adultery, you're out. Well, John, deal with that. Can a Christian commit adultery? Of course he can. Volitionally, he can choose to go and have a sexual relationship with someone that's not his wife. Does that mean that he hates God? No, it doesn't. It means that he is a disobedient rebel. It doesn't mean that he's going to miss heaven. It means that he will be secured by God and punished. You have to read the book of, there's a portion that I'm thinking of in the book of Hebrews. As a matter of fact, I want to turn there with you because, and it wasn't my intent to get into this, but I guess that since I made a statement, it would be good for me to kind of back it up with something, huh? Because, you know, we're talking about the disciplining of the Lord, because that's what we're talking about. For it says in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm starting at verse 7, it says, "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. And what son is there whom the father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not son." In the King James, it calls you bastards. Then he says, "Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" See, and so here the writer is saying that Christians can be and will be and must be disciplined. But they cannot resist the Spirit of God. That discipline comes for your disobedience. So, that's the fourth point, and it quite naturally leads you into the fifth and last point, which is the Arminian teaches that the Christian can fall from grace, and Calvinism teaches the perseverance of the saints, meaning that once saved, always saved. We'll handle that next time. Stay in the Word.